cloth. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what are we going to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Getting a little pop on the mic here. I guess I'm too loud. I want to talk about simple, a simple life. We live in a time where there's so many things going on, so many different pressures, and so many different offerings that the world has for us. We can chase our 401ks, we can chase our personal satisfaction with our jobs, we can chase a family. We have so many different, we have political parties that we may want to support. We have all kinds of different things that are constantly surrounding us. People are feeling overwhelmed like they've never felt before in our society. You have constant messaging from the internet. We've never had more connectivity to hear about what's happening all around the world, not just in our own local place. People have started searching for simplicity. Even before inflation started rising, there was a big movement of the tiny homes, moving into small little compact places with less stuff. And I said, you know, when I want to look at this, what does the world have to offer? Where should I go? And I said, ha-ha, the internet. YouTube. When I did a cursory search on YouTube, I got something like that. Simplify your whole life. 30 things to try. And I thought, you know, that may not quite be enough. I wonder if there's more. Oh, 100 ways to simplify your life in only 23 minutes. And I said, that's probably just not quite enough. Oh, wait, there's 101. All of these offers are about decluttering your life or selling things or managing and organizing in some structured way so that your life can become simple and it can be better. And I said, you know, maybe it's not the internet only. Maybe there's somewhere else that I could go for more wisdom. And I said, well, there's always been that strange little rectangular things that they had in libraries back in the day of books. And wouldn't you know, there were thousands of books about a quest for a simple life. The simple life, plain living and high thinking in American culture. All these guides. There are even some prominent Christian authors who have written many books about simple living, about what it means to live simply. People are looking for a simple way to live. I think we all feel the pressures and the burdens of all those added things that go around you. Unfortunately, I don't think they have the right answers. Now, I know that some of you may think that, wow, he's going to tell us that as Christians, how much of a 401k we should have and how much is too much that we're seeking for. Or maybe, how much of a car is too fancy to have as a Christian, that I shouldn't have that car, but I can have this car. I've always been wondering whether I should purchase that house or not. And I'm sorry to say I'll probably disappoint you there. Because I think that tends to fall into the same trap. The same trap that the world looks towards for their answers. Of man-made designs to a better life that is more simple to live. I think this part of the message that Jesus is telling the people, it is the single greatest insight into simple living. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It will be provided to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I know that sounds like, well, how is that simplifying? Well, guess what? You don't have to worry about anymore. All these things. This is the simplicity that God offers you. This is where that lies. Now, how do we seek? And what is a simple life? A simple life does not equal an easy life. Sometimes we get confused between simple and easy. That there's complexity and things that happen, but there is not always easy. Even Jesus in John 16:33 said that in the world we will have tribulations. But what did He say? Have confidence. Even though you're in that world that's full of tribulations, I have overcome that world. That is a joy and a hope of peace that He offers to you and to me. I wonder about seeking. And in Scripture it talks about to seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking is a continuous action in this case. It's about striving. It's about wanting. It's about driving toward. It's an action. It's not a passive thing. It's something that we are called to do. How do we seek for something? I remember as a kid playing hide and seek and going looking for. That was the most random or thing that popped up immediately in my mind about searching for something and desiring it, wanting it to become, I wanted to find. You don't just seek to keep seeking, you seek to find and to hold on to. What's this kingdom of God that we are seeking, called to seek after? A kingdom is known as a place where a king has reign and rule and dominion. It's the domain of the king. That is a kingdom. So obviously the kingdom of God is where God has complete and total reign and dominion over everything that is there. Well, Brother Kurt's been talking about the kingdom of God in the ACE classes. And there's one more. You can hear a little bit more if you come next week. But there is no, oh, there it is. It's over here. Come to this place. Go to that place. That's where the kingdom of heaven is. That's where the kingdom of God is. No, the kingdom of God is not a definitive location that you can just travel to and find. In our own lives, we have things that we strive after, that we want, and that we want to accomplish. But what about what God wants to accomplish? Do we ever stop and think about what God desires to accomplish? So often we come to God with prayers and requests. Do we ever stop to listen? Do we stop to seek what His desire is for these situations? Imagine if the entirety of your life followed seeking first what he wanted in all those areas. Then the kingdom of God would be in you. It would be the domain where he ruled over your lives, over every aspect that you have, over your finances, over your relationships, over your communities. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we seek for? Well, it also didn't just say about the kingdom of God. It said to seek out his righteousness. Jesus, earlier in this whole section, this is all comes from Matthew chapter 5 and 6, and he talks about who is blessed in the kingdom of God. We get a glimpse into who God says is blessed. We get to see what God's righteousness looks like with the humble and the meek and the poor are blessed. God's heart for those who he loves. You don't have to be some great, awesome person of great achievement and high standing. No, God loves you. No matter who you are. When we look at the fruit of the Spirit, as the Spirit is indwelling us and the kingdom is ruling in us, you see the fruit that is sprouted out and comes out is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is what God wants to transform you into. You striving to look after these things. Are they what you are seeking? Is it easier to seek those things? Because if you seek those things, all the rest is taken care of. It all falls in line. As we set aside ourselves and seek out God's desires, we are now brought into conformity to the way that we were designed to operate. When you look back at Adam and Eve, what was their relationship with God like? Total dependence, total submission to God. That's how we were made to be. That's how we were called to be operating. God providing, us abiding with him. Sometimes I think I have a very hard time living up to that. I find it very easy to think that I need to do it all on my own. That part of my life, that small part, he doesn't need to be a part of that. I've got this. I don't need to submit that. That's an easy thing. It's the big things that I need God's help with. But that's not what he talks about. Do you know that when we trust God in the small things in life, throughout our daily thing, and we submit those things to him, and we trust in him, and we build up that trust because he's always faithful, he doesn't fail us. When the big things come in life, we already know the answer, don't we? Boldness. Where does boldness come from? I thought about boldness in Scripture and a story about boldness. And it was a reasonable facsimile of what took place. From Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, this is where they speak. But this is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon. They decided that they were not going to follow the rule that required them to bow down and worship the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And when they got called out on this, they had this to say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, we are not in need of an answer to give you concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods, nor worship the golden statue that you have set up." That is boldness, is it not? When was the last time that you were bold? When was the last time you felt that sense of boldness just in talking or answering someone, or even in decision making? Where does that boldness come from? I say that boldness stems out of knowing the answer. Knowing the right answer. Have you ever had a test or a quiz, and you've sat there, and they ask the question, and before they even finished asking the question, "I know the answer," boom, my hand is up. I'm first answer in class. Boldness. Where do we have the answer? By following the guidelines of the king. Because that's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were doing. They had no room left for any worry. There's no room left for yeah, but, I should do that, yeah, but this. Because obedience negates all ambiguity. There are no more questions. There are no, well, maybe I need to do this. Maybe this should be done. Maybe this should be done. Well, what does the king say? Do you know what God says? How do we know what God says? We study His Word. We study Scripture. That's where we get the answers. We pray. We ask. We listen. These young men were facing death in a fiery furnace. I don't know about you, but fear would have been coming on me in waves. Fear. Matthew 13:22, in the parable of the sower, we have, it said, "And the one sown with seed among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the anxiety of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." What happens when we are consumed with the fears, when we give in to the problems that are all surrounding us that we hear throughout our daily lives? About troubles in foreign lands, about the local problems, about political issues, about our financial issues, and we go, "I'm so afraid." It chokes off. It chokes off the fruit. Fear can choke you out. When you are afraid, are you producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness? No. Because you are internalizing and you are focusing again on yourself. Right? It's about self-preservation. We all go through it. We all want what's best for ourselves. You're always looking out for yourself. Even in your own family, sometimes you can get caught up where each member of the family is looking out for themselves. But what does God instruct? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do we live that way? Sometimes this can be a hard thing to recognize, but it is there. It's in setting aside your own desires and plans that you truly submit to God. Because the submission to the Lord is where your peace lies. It's not in your ability to accumulate, to organize, to strategize. Your peace lies with the Lord. We must depend on Him completely, relying only on Him. God wants to provide for you. Scripture says it over and over. You see it through the Old Testament with the Hebrews as they were traveling through the wilderness. God was providing for them. They had no means to take care of themselves. Trusting in God leads to boldness. It's true. When you know where your provision comes from and who is your provider, you can have boldness. You do not need to worry about where it's coming from, because God is the provider. Is there anyone else we can trust? Is there anyone else who has greater truth than God? No. This is what we are called to do. To put our faith and trust in the Lord, and it will get rid of our anxieties. It will give us boldness so that we can go out into the world to tell them what God is doing for us in our lives. Because that's what we're called to. We can live in this wonderful existence. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 4. It's 1 through 3. I had a little typo earlier. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What's our ultimate fear? Death? You already died if you are a believer in Christ. You are in a new life right now. You have been raised. Do you want to know what's great about it? You are living an eternal life, and you already have started it. This life is going to go on and on for all eternity, guaranteed by Christ. There is our hope. There is our faith. That's what we always pray and sing about, isn't it? We look forward to a place where God has dominion and reign over everything, over all the earth. We look for that culmination to come to the entirety of the earth, don't we? You have the opportunity to live in it right now. God offers it to us that in our daily life we can experience what it's like to live in the kingdom of heaven right now, where He has domain over our life, where He takes care of our worries, where we can trust in Him. So what do we seek first? I think all too often I've fallen short, and I've sought many things in this world. Things that are going to rust and go away. Things that aren't going to be worth things. They're worthless. How long can I hold on to them? I've sought pleasures. Short, fleeting things of this life. But what higher praise can we offer to God than to submit ourselves or set our self-interest aside and submit completely to what God wants for us? We are called to carry our cross, are we not? Lay down ourselves, sacrifice, seek what God wants for us. It's far better than anything we can ever come up with. Is it not? We can trust that He will take care of the rest. Is the God you know big enough for that? Is He big enough in your own lives? Do you trust Him that much? Do you know God? Do you know what He offers? Seek Him out. Look into His Word. Find His truth. Live His truth. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness in the way you live. Simpleness and boldness are born out of a life that trusts in God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that in each of our lives that You send Your Spirit to move in our hearts, to guide us into obedience and submission to Yourself, that we can become fully formed followers of You, that we put on display to those around the world and around ourselves what it looks like to have You as our King. What joy and hope it is that You offer to us, that we can be a part of Your family. Amen.